But what we're going to do is look to the scriptures and find out what heaven, per God's word, is truly all about. We're going to learn, get a description of it, what it is, what it isn't. And it's almost incomprehensible, but it is describable in the book of Revelation. And so there's a couple verses in the first part of your sermon listening guide that we're going to read together. But let me give you the backdrop. John is one of the 12 disciples. And John is now on the Isle of Patmos, where he's been exiled because of his faith. He's being persecuted. He's one of the last remaining disciples. Many of them have died. And so John is having a hard time in his life. And it says he was worshiping on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, like today. Here's what happened. An amazing doorway opened. It was a vision of sorts in which he saw into heaven, and he caught a glimpse of the activities of the end of the world. Now, we're interested in that. There's a lot of things going on. There's Russia, Ukraine. There's Israel. There's all kinds of activities in our world. But John had a vision of what the end of the world would look like. And so in all these chapters from 2 through 21, he gives an account of what he saw. Amazing things. Some things are understandable. Other things are not. And so when John has his vision, I want you to understand he was in a hard place in life. And I have to say this. You may be here today and you are in a hard spot in life. Could be the loss of a loved one. Could be a circumstance in your life, whether it's sickness or a family member. But you might be in a very difficult spot. But I want you to know, God came through for John in his most difficult place, and he'll do the same for you. If you just hang in there and have faith toward him, he will somehow, some way, communicate to you something new. May not be a vision of heaven, but if we're faithful to him, he will somehow show his love and reveal his grace to you and meet you right where you're at in your hard spot. So John has this amazing vision, and he sees the end of the world, the old planet, the old earth as we know it, this earth. It says it'll be burned with fire, it'll be purged, and God will make something new out of it. And so he gives us a glimpse of a new heaven and a new earth, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're almost at the end of the Bible. It's chapters 21 and 22. And we're going to get a picture of what God has prepared for us and invites us to be a part of as we put our faith and our trust in what Christ has done for us. So in your notes, verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 21, let's read this together. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He has this amazing vision where he sees the New Jerusalem, a new city. Jerusalem currently, geographically, is located in Israel in the Middle East. We know where that's at. This is totally different. This is a new Jerusalem, a new holy city that God is preparing, and it will descend out of the heavens for us to be a part of. It's compared to a bride. We are the bride of Christ, those who put their faith in Christ. And Jesus is the groom, and God is preparing this holy city as the bride for Christ himself. Here's what I want to do today. I want to share with you 5 thoughts about heaven. 5 truths. There are many truths, but I just want to pick out 5 as we look at Revelation chapter 21. And I want you to understand, God is inviting everyone to be a part of this if we want to embrace it and believe it and trust him for. Number one, in your notes, what will heaven be like? Number one, it's a place of no suffering. A place where there is no suffering. Read with me verses 3-5 in your notes. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I want you to get the description of what this place is like and what is not there. Number one, it's in your notes. It says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. In other words, there will be no more tears shed once you get to the place called heaven. He goes on to say there'll be no more death. Can you imagine being in a place after this life is over when our bodies die, our souls, our spirit live on, and there we will enter a place where there will never be any more death? There won't be any nursing homes. There won't be any hospitals. Won't need them. It'll be a place where there's no suffering. And the list goes on. There's no mourning or crying or pain. You know, mourning is something we do when we lose something valuable in our life, especially a loved one. The pain goes deep. The hurt is there. The grief continues. Heaven can continue, can come down and heal that partly now, but when we get to that place, there will not be any of that, for the old order of things has passed away. I want you to get in touch with your deepest pain right now. That only takes a fraction of a second for most of us. You know what it is. God's a healer of our deepest pain and sorrow. And here's a quote I'm going to have Darlene put up. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. God can bring healing to a broken heart now, and he does that. But there will come a time when we are in this place called heaven and we're released from the physical body of limitations, that there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or sorrow, and he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. He's preparing that for you and for me. Number two, the second thing about heaven is this. It's a place of endless satisfaction. Read with me Revelation 21, 6 and 7 in your notes. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. I want you to notice what's going to be there. There will be a spring of the water of life. In the book of John, I believe, remember, Jesus goes to a Samaritan well. There's a woman there. And she is serving water. He's Jewish. She is Samaritan. And she's had a pretty rough past. She's been married 5 times. The man she was with was not her husband. Jesus steps into her life, and he asks the woman for a drink of water. She's the one that dips it out of the well. And she said to him, why would a Jew ask me, a Samaritan, for water? Because there was racial tension between the two groups. And here's what Jesus said back. He said, if you knew who you were talking to, I could give you something to drink and you would never thirst again. This woman finally figured out who she was talking to when Jesus proactively said, yeah, he asked her to get her husband, and she says, I don't have one. which was true. And Jesus said, yeah, you've had five, and the man you're with is not your husband. But the point is, she discovered the water of life that comes from the person of Jesus Christ. And when she got it together, she had a life change. You know what the Bible says? She went back to her home village. She told her story, and many people believed because of her testimony. It's called being changed and transformed by grace. When we get to heaven, there will be a stream of some kind of living water. And when you and I partake of it, when we taste it, when we experience it, it will be endless satisfaction. Here's a picture of just a little water, the living water that truly satisfies. When we get to a place called heaven, there's a source of water of life that will always satisfy the thirst. And it's come from Jesus and his sacrifice, but it's an amazing truth that it's endless. It will go on and on. It's hard for us to comprehend because we're in a time-locked zone with a thing called life. You live so many years. But when we step into eternity, we'll be timeless, and we can be satisfied through the water of life. Number three, the third thing about heaven is this. It's a place of unimaginable beauty. Heaven is a place of incredible beauty. Read with me Revelation 21, 9 through 11 in your notes. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. The description of heaven goes on in that chapter. And the emeralds, the onyx, the streets of gold, they're transparent like glass. And the colors are incredible. There's a man by the name of Marv Besteman. He's a retired banker. And he got pancreatic cancer and had surgery. It was a rough surgery. And he was all hooked up with the different monitoring tools in the hospital, and his wife decided to go home. She was very tired. And here's what happened to Marv. He said two people came to his door. They were dressed in white, and they were angels. They came through the door and unhooked him from all the things that he was connected to. And they escorted him to heaven. He's written a book about this. I encourage you to get it. It's called My Journey to Heaven. And he goes and he looks into heaven. It wasn't his time, and he had to come back, but here's what he said about it. He said, the colors and the lights in heaven were simply sublime. They were the deepest, richest, most glorious, lush colors I have ever seen, and some I had never seen before. There's a lot to the story, but here's who he saw. He saw his son-in-law, who had died in his 40s just a few months earlier. He saw people he grew up with that were believers and longtime friends of the family. He looked into heaven. He couldn't go in. And he saw the incredible colors and the beauty of what it was like. He said he had to come back. Let me tell you the rest of the story. He lived about 5 years more. And he had to write a book about his experience. And it says that he finished the manuscript with the person that helped him write it. And a few weeks after that, he died the second time. And he's in heaven today. But the point is, the colors are amazingly beautiful. Now, I want to tell you about the size of the city, all right? The tallest building in the world today is in Dubai. It's called Burj Khalifa. It's 2,717 feet high. It's over a half mile. tallest building in the world. I read something this last week or two that really surprised me. It was in Dr. David Jeremiah's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. Get a load of this. Tokyo. You know what they're planning to do in Tokyo? They're going to build a building. It's called Next Tokyo 2045. Okay, this is 22, so we got 23 years to go. They are planning a building that will go 1 mile into the sky. 1 mile. There will be elevators that will go vertical and horizontal, and it'll house 55,000 people. But it's going to go up 1 mile. That'll be the highest building in the world if they pull that off. Now, I want you to understand, there's a description here of the new Jerusalem, the new holy city. And let me tell you the dimensions of it. It's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's a cube. And God is preparing the holy city, and it is coming down out of heaven, and this will be the place where we will call home. Now, here's a picture. This is an artist's rendition. I'll have Darlene put that up. Anyway, there's a picture there. It's of heaven itself. Thank you. And so, I mean, but this city is going to be 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and that much tall. It's a cube. The walls, get a load of this, will be 72 yards thick. That's two-thirds of a football field. But can you imagine, if every floor was 1 mile, there'd be 1,500 miles worth. And God is preparing this place for us, for people who are trusting Him. But it's a place of amazing beauty. It's a place of amazing beauty. And I want us to understand, God has you in mind for it. He has me in mind. And He wants us to get there and to be a part of it. So number one, there's no suffering. Two, there's a place of endless satisfaction. Three, there's a place of unimaginable beauty. I got one other slide I want to show you. Somebody did this. They took some cardboard and they scaled it. And this would be the size of the city. I mean, it doesn't quite cover the U.S., but that's how big it is. It's bigger than, one floor is bigger than one continent. But the point is, God is just preparing this amazing place for us because that's what His word, He has spoken. So let's go to number four. The fourth thing about heaven is this. It's a place where God's glory is the source of light. Read with me verses 22 to 26 in your notes. I did not see the temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will not be night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. There's no street lights in heaven. There's no nice egg either. There's no monthly payment. There's no electricity as we know it. There's no lamps. There's nothing like that. The glory of God in His presence and Jesus the Lamb is somehow the light that lights the entire city and beyond. And it says God's glory just shines brightly and fills the entire place. St. Ignatius said, the glory of God is man fully alive. You know what that means? When we get connected to God through a relationship with Him through Christ, He is most glorified. Do you know that He just wants a relationship with each of us? And when we connect with Him, His glory resides in us. But when we get to heaven, He will light the place up just by virtue of who He is. And it'll generate that much power. You know, in Revelation chapter 1, It said that when John had this vision, heaven's door was open and he went through it. He saw Christ himself. And he said that Christ's face was like the shining sun. And here's the picture. This is just bold brightness. We can't comprehend that. But God's power and glory is so great that it can shine and brighten up anything, including the holy city. But you know what else he does? That same glory brightens up our own life if we let him be a part of it. And so the amazing thing is he wants this for us. And so it's a place where his glory is the source of the light. So number five, the fifth truth about heaven is this. It's a place where nothing impure will ever enter. No impurity will enter into heaven. Why not? It's because God's holiness won't allow it. Read with me verse 27 in your notes. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the most exciting point to me of all five. Let me explain it. Nothing impure is going to get into heaven. Nothing. You know why? That's just God's holiness. In the book of, or chapter 21 of verse 8, there's a description of people that won't be there. I'm going to read it to you. It's in your notes. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. The Bible teaches about heaven as this glorious place God wants us all to go to. There's also a place of separation or hell for people who do not believe. But I want you to stick with me and walk through this. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul has a list in verse 10 similar to what's in Revelation 28. But then he makes an amazing statement. Listen to this. Paul says, and that is what some of you were. That is what some of you were. You know who's going to be in heaven? The people that are in that list, but the people that had a life change through grace, through the forgiveness of sins, through Christ's washing. Here's what Paul said. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Here's the key. You know who's going to populate heaven? People like you and me. I'm in this list, are you? That is what some of us were. It's past tense. When you and I receive the grace of forgiveness of our sins, we are washed, we are cleansed, we are forgiven, and we are then eligible to go to a place called heaven. And Paul says, that's what some of you were. Moses, Old Testament, murdered a guy in a fit of anger, killed an Egyptian. He got to heaven. You know why? He was washed. That's what the grace of God does for us. How about this? Zacchaeus was a tax collector, crooked guy, cheated people out of a lot of money. But one day he saw Jesus walking along the road and he was in a tree and anyway, he connected with Jesus and he found forgiveness for all the crummy stuff he'd done in the past, repaid money to the poor. And he's in heaven. You know why? His past was washed. How about David, the man after God's own heart, one of the greatest leaders ever, Old Testament, a king. He was shepherd and God elevated him to be a king. Did a lot of amazing things, but he saw Bathsheba. She was bathing and he committed adultery with her. Not only that, he had Bathsheba's husband sent to the front lines to be killed. He was in the list. Bad list. But here's what happened. He got washed. He got cleansed. He got forgiven. And you know where he's at today? He's in heaven. And so the great truth of this, while nothing impure can ever enter heaven, listen, grace is available to all of us to be washed so that we can have the place and know the experience of going to heaven when this life is over. A few weeks back, I think I shared with the church family that the youth group had been watching some videos on people that have gone to heaven and came back. One of them was Gary Wood. Let me tell you a story. In 1966, December 23rd, he and his sister were in a car, and they rear-ended a big truck that was apparently illegally parked. And anyway, it cut his throat and larynx, and his nose was cut off, and he was declared clinically dead at the scene. And during this time, he said he went to heaven. He said he was there about 20 minutes, and he came back. And I got to tell you what his story is. He said he met a friend who had died in an accident earlier, somebody he knew. And the friend gave him a tour of part of heaven. He said the colors were amazing. He saw all kinds of things. He's huge angels. But he took him to the library. And in the library, they found a book. It's called The Lamb's Book of Life. And this is the book that's referred to in John chapter 21, that only the peoples whose names are in the book get to go to the place called heaven. Here's the neat part. This guy, Gary Wood, looking through the Lamb's Book of Life, listen, he found his own name. Can you imagine? Has a horrendous accident, spends 20 minutes in heaven, wasn't his time, he had to come back to write his book, tell other people. But he saw his name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and here's what he said it said. He had the right to be there because regardless of his past, it was paid in full by the precious red blood of Jesus. That's what he said was written there. You know how all of us get to heaven? Because of the precious red blood of Jesus. I've got to show you a picture. Last slide here. Let me explain this. This is now a covenant of pure grace. Let no man attempt to mix works with it. And Charles Spurgeon, let me explain that. You know how you get to heaven? Pure grace. It's a gift. You and I cannot earn it. We can't do enough good deeds to get it. We can't win it. We can't coax God into giving it to us. It's a gift. And when we receive the gift, it's pure grace. The only way we get there is if we receive him and his forgiveness. The washing, just like other people, including Paul, who was a mean guy, he was washed. And once he was washed, he was eligible to go to heaven. You know why? His name was then written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The great offer of God's grace, pure grace, is this. Anybody here, anybody on planet Earth, if we're willing to receive the gift, that's what it is. It's a gift of grace. And receive the washing to cover over the stuff of our past. I got a past. You have a past. Let me tell you, when you're washed, your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're good to go. It's all a faith transaction. So as we think about heaven, place of no suffering, endless satisfaction, unimaginable beauty, a place where God's glory is the light source, a place where nothing impure will ever enter. God says, hey, I want to give that to every person, but there is a requirement. The requirement is that every person is washed. It's a faith deal when we come before God and say, God, forgive me of all my sins, what I've done wrong. That's what I once was. Going forward, I'm different because of his grace. There's a half-page flyer in the packet that was handed out to you when you came in. And there's a beige one, and it's a commitment form. And here's what I just want to walk through as we wrap up. If you're here for the first time and you're saying, I need to I need to receive that washing and forgiveness into my life the very first time, I'd ask you to check that. There's a pen in the chair pocket in front of you. Or maybe you've known him in the past and it's drawing close again to him and there's a recommitment you do to get up to date. Check that one. Or maybe you already know him and you're just walking with him. Check that. And there's also a place, if you have a question, I'd love to talk with you. If you've got one, you can mark that, put your name and phone number down. But here's what I'd like everybody to do. Complete it. And in the wicker baskets at the back of the sanctuary or in the Welcome Center, just drop that in there on the way out. And we certainly will pray for you that God will just help you confirm any commitments you made. So I'm going to close in prayer. And if you want to pray this prayer silently after me, it's a prayer of washing. So that you can leave here today knowing this, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You settle it, you resolve it, because you've allowed Christ to have that place in your life. Let's bow for prayer. If you'd like to pray this prayer silently after me, just feel free to do so. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm valuable to you, even when I think I'm not. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of trying to live life apart from you. I turn from or repent of those things that are just not good for me. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again the third day. And he lives forevermore. And right now by faith, I open the door of my heart. And I receive the gift of heaven. I invite Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to him. I ask him to be my Savior. I ask him to be my Lord. And I ask that you'll give me the confidence that because of my faith in the cross of Christ, my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and heaven is my future home. It's in your name I pray. And Father, I just pray for everyone here today and those listening online that your grace would abound in their lives and that your amazing love and mercy would do a deep work in each person's heart to give them the confidence, the assurance that they are good with you, and the heavenly city, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the place called heaven, will be our future home, all because it's through pure grace that we're trusting in your gift to us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.